Welcome to the weekly podcast from Christ Community Church. If you would like more information about this podcast or Christ Community Church, please visit our webpage at www.gochristcommunity.com. Blessings and enjoy the sermon.
My name is Yelena Barry. Most of you know that nearly a year ago, me and my family packed our bags and we moved here from South Africa. So, if I speak a little bit different, that's why. When I walked in here this morning, Wendy asked me, "How are you doing?" So, I said to her, "You know, when a postman delivers a letter, the contents of the letter is really between the sender and the receiver. So, I am the postman this morning." The town where we came from, the postmen were still cycling on bicycles, delivering letters throughout the town. I'm not on a bicycle, I'm on a donkey. Okay. So let's pray together. Father God, you are the Most High God, Lord. You are faithful and you are true to your word. You are holy and just, and above all, you loved us first. Thank you for the wonderful gift of life. So I put my words in your hand, Lord. I thank you for the victory that we have in Jesus Christ only. Will you touch every heart and soul here, Lord? I want to encourage every heart to open up and receive the parcel at your door. There's a knock. May God reveal to you what you need to receive today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. I'm not sure if this is going to... Will you do the slides, Joel? You can go to that one. Thank you. Mankind is curious. It is so natural for us to find out who our family members are, where we come from. Maybe even a few generations ago, I know Craig's father did a study on the Barry lineage, and it was quite interesting to find out where we came from. We ended up in Africa, but we didn't start there. And science, on top of it, has developed so much lately in terms of the research around this. You can go to the next slide. There are DNA, you can't see the detail, but it's not necessary. There are DNA testing kits that you can give them a little bit of saliva or a cheek swab. And then they give you information regarding your ethnic group, your geographic regions where you came from. Okay, so this is where I would stop because people actually, it was hilarious. I went to look at success stories for people that did this, and probably without exception, people found new family members that they were not aware of, or they found out their surname wasn't really who they thought they were. So there's a lot of information, but it's incredible how interesting it is and fascinating to all of us in the natural to go and see where do we belong. Thank you, Joel. Which brings me to a typical question that so many of us have asked. And it's good to ask it. I think it's really important that all of us look at this. Where do I fit in? Where do I come from? Where am I going to? And I'm not talking only about the body of Christ, but everybody in this world, we should all get to a point where we ask this question. Life is not only about today. You only have to be here for a little while, and then you realize your past makes a difference to the future. The decisions that we make have an impact on our life going forward. But there's a place for each one of us. And so many of us do not know where we fit in, and we keep searching and searching and searching. And I trust the Lord to shine His light on this today so that each one of you, like Chris had that puzzle last week, to realize that a puzzle, you know, have you ever built a 1,000-piece puzzle and you get to the end and there's one piece missing? It is so frustrating. And I really believe that God looks at our lives and He wants to make a complete puzzle, a beautiful mosaic from each one of our lives. When you look at the bottom there, we have a timeline in our life. But if you stretch it a little bit wider, you see between the creation of God and the end of this age, somewhere each of us fit in. And if you look at how long the line is, me covers a very tiny spot. Yet, God looks at His plans for nations, for tribes, and for tongues. But He looks at each of the little pieces of the puzzle with a name of you and me. So my goal for today is to go through you with a word, to see in God's word, where do I fit in? Why does it matter? And is it okay if my puzzle is just non-existent? And what happens to the big puzzle if there's one missing? So, given to the going to the Word of God, we need to start at the beginning. We all know what happened in the Garden of Eden, where man fell into sin. The end of it was that Adam and Eve had to leave the garden. And there are two scriptures that I would like us to start off with. The one is Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. If we just look at the second scripture, in Adam all die, in Christ shall all be made alive. I've been wondering about that word in for many years. And in our natural, rational mind, it does not really make sense. So the only way we can go and try to understand it is to go to the Word of God and see where He speaks about somebody being in someone to try and give us an understanding of what He means by saying, in Adam all die, in Christ shall all be made alive. I would like to take us to a journey with Abram. He went on a battle. His cousin or nephew, who was it, Lot, he was taken captive. There was this big war, and Abram raised up with his slaves, and he went into battle. He was successful. God was with him, and he came back. And on the way back, he met somebody with a name, Melchizedek. Is that how you say it? Okay. And the word speaks about Melchizedek as the priest of the Most High God. It's interesting. It doesn't mention anything about this man other than that he was a priest of the Most High God. In the book of Hebrew, there's a discussion about this happening in the book of Genesis with Abram and Melchizedek. What happened was Abram met Melchizedek. He had all these spoils of the people that he captured, and he got everybody back that he was looking for. It was a real successful battle. He saw Melchizedek. He bowed down to him, gave him honor. Melchizedek blessed him in the name of the Lord, and Abram tithed to him. What is interesting is when we look at Hebrews 7, verse 9 to 10, it says, and as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the lions of his father when Melchizedek met him. When you look at the generation, we see that Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob, and Jacob was the father of Levi. It shines a little bit of light on this concept of in, because if you look at the word saying Levi was in the lions of his father when he bowed down to Melchizedek and he tithed to him, it shows us that in our natural mind there's so much that we do not understand. But spiritually, and God knows everything, we can just take the word and believe it and realize that there's something special about being in Adam or in Christ. Because even if it makes no sense to our natural mind, Levi was in Abram at the time when he tithed to Melchizedek. And that was long before Levi was born. Keep in mind this concept about being in somebody, even if the person that you are in is not alive anymore. In other words, if we look at that scripture in Romans, in Adam all die, and in Christ all shall be made alive. You know what is amazing? You can put your own name in there, because you and I are part of all of mankind. I could say, in Adam, Yelena die, and in Adam, in Christ, Yelena shall be made alive. In Adam, Stephanie dies, and in Christ, Stephanie shall be made alive. Keep that in mind, and let's go to the next slide, and we look at what the word tells us about the state of the world as we know it, since Adam and Eve were thrown out of the garden. I'm going to give you a few scriptures so that we can understand, not what I say, but what the Bible says. Amen. About the world that we live in. 1 Corinthians 4, 3-4, Satan is the god of this world. I don't think any of us need to be a prophet to realize this world is dark.
Right?
It's around us everywhere. And the Bible says Satan is the god of this world. 1 John 5:19. This is from the Complete Jewish Bible Translation. We know that we are from God, and that the whole world is in the power of the wicked one. It's heartbreaking. It's so sad. But it's the truth. If we look at our friends, our family, the people in this world, we can see there are people that we want to, please, shine the light, open your eyes. But they are somehow blinded. And the word says in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that the enemy comes and he blinds people's minds. In Ephesians 4:18, we read that we are alienated from the life of God. 1 Corinthians 3:19, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. And then we come back to Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, you and I were born into this world that the Bible speaks about, that we just saw. It's dark. We are born in a state of cut off from the life of God. In Adam, all of mankind died. In the book of John 3, verse 6, we see that which is born of the flesh is flesh. We are born in a state of being in Adam. It's not something that we choose. It's not something that we do. However beautiful and pure a newborn baby is, we are all born in a state of being in Adam. It is not about what we do. It's because of being in Adam. It's who we are. It does not help that we look for 100 different ways to go to God and do good deeds to try to get to Him. It's the essence of who we are. We are dead in Adam. It's not what we do as such. If we look at a sinner and sin, we would say that a sinner sins, right? That would make sense. But the truth, if we look at the Bible, is we are sinners just because we are born in the state of this world, in Adam. Even if we do not sin one day, which we do, but even if we don't, we are still a sinner just because we are in Adam. That is the state of which we are in. And there is no good deed that we can get out. I bless the Lord. You know, the Most High God, He's above time. He is the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. And what happened in this world did not come as a surprise to Him. And before that happened, He knew what He would do. He knew the plans that He has for us. He makes a way. We cannot get out of this world of darkness on our own. But praise the Lord and bless His name, there is a kingdom of light. We do not have to stay in this dark world, in this fallen world, with everything that the Bible tells us about. There is hope. There is a kingdom of light. As we've seen now that we are born in a state of being in Adam, the Bible speaks about the old man. In Ephesians 4:22, we read a description about our old man, and the word calls us corrupt. The old man is corrupt. So we are in this corrupt darkness, in this corrupt world, and we are corrupt, even if we don't sin. It's about who we are. But God is the King of Kings. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords of this kingdom of light. So He wants us to come there. He's inviting us. He's inviting the whole world. The Bible says God wants the whole world to come to repentance. He wants us to come there, and He wants you and I to come into this kingdom of light. If you look at Isaiah 61:1-3, we read that Jesus came for sinners. He came to set the captives free. He came to heal the brokenhearted. Do you see His heart? He knows the world that we live in, but He has made a way for us to come out of it. The amazing thing is that He does not take us as our old man, polish us, gives us a new garment over our filthy garments. No. He has made a way to take care of that old man within us. By God's grace, He has provided the way, the truth, and the life to take us from this kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His light. He takes us from death to life. In Ezekiel 36:26, we read about Him giving us a heart of flesh. He takes out our heart of stone. He gives us a heart of flesh. It's called the new covenant. You know, God is a covenant-keeping God. Go and read in the book of Daniel. He is a covenant-keeping God. He is steadfast, he is faithful, he is glorious and magnificent in every way. And his word is the truth. If he says he takes out your heart of stone and he gives you a heart of flesh, you can trust in that. So he does not take the old man. He makes us a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 speaks about the new creature. How does he do it? Now we need to think about what we've just learned about the word in. God says in Acts 20:21, we should repent towards God and have faith in Jesus. When we come to him, to our Father who loved us first, when we come to him with a repentant heart, what is a repentant heart? We hear it so often. But it's actually a heart that turns your back on this kingdom of this world, this darkness, to his light. And everything in it is behind you. It doesn't mean that you don't make mistakes, but you don't want to live there anymore. You repent, you turn your back to this darkness behind us. Because he made a way. In a book of Watchman Nee, he writes, the cross is the mighty act of God which translates us from Adam to Christ. What is amazing is he takes this old man, this corrupt old man, he puts Helena in Christ. He crucifies me. And he puts me in a grave. Who is buried in a grave? The dead. He puts me in him. He crucifies me in him. He puts me in a grave. And praise the Lord, on the third day, he raises us up in Christ as a new creation. It is all happening in Christ. When the world tells you there are many ways to God, go and read our Bible. We have to trust the word of God. You don't want to end up your journey realizing this was right and I was wrong. So we are basically going from a state of being in Adam to a place of being in Christ. I pray that the Lord will reveal the truth of this and this absolute miraculous revelation in each of our hearts. Because if this is true, and it is, then the life of Christ is in us. We are not alone. And we also are not the person that we used to be before the cross. If we think about the birth of Jesus, think about this. You and I were conceived in a different way to him. The word says that the Holy Spirit came over Mary. In other words, he was born a baby, but he was never born in a state of being in Adam. Never. Because he did not have that mantle of sinner. In the essence of his being, he was never, ever a sinner. He was never in Adam. By God's grace, in the book of John 1, I think, he says that Jesus came as the last Adam and he became a life-giving spirit. Amen. Do you hear that? A life-giving spirit. Yes. We don't have to sit and suffer in death. Death in our relationships, death in our bodies, death in our whatever, in our mind, in our thoughts. He is a life-giving spirit, the abundant life that he's paid for. It's all in Christ. In Romans 5, we read, therefore, Verse 18, sorry. As by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one many be made righteous. In 1 Corinthians 15:45 we read, Adam, the first man, became a living human being, but the last Adam has become a life-giving spirit. Our old man is crucified. We are risen in him in a state of being in Christ. We have the life of Christ in us. The word says in Galatians 2:20 that I have been crucified in Christ. It is not I who live any longer, but it's Christ Jesus who lives through me. You know, we read that scripture and we believe it because it's the word of God. But in reality, I'm sure you and I can agree, sometimes people stand in front of a group of a congregation and gives lots of prosperity messages. Come to the Lord and he will solve your problems and he will do this and this and this. But it's life that you receive from him. And we sometimes come forth and we surrender our lives to Christ. And then we are in a body of Christ and people disappoint us. Or we go live life. And things happen and you think, Lord, why does this happen to me? I need to make a decision. I make the bad one. I want to do this and I do this. And we keep having these battles. So I'm sure you and I will agree that life after the cross is not always plain sailing. Galatians 5:17, we read, For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. We forget when we go to the cross, only the dead are buried. There's some nature in us crucified. But I will get to the next slide in a moment to help explain why do we experience this instead of glory, glory all the time. Don't we just want that? Because we start experiencing these changes within us. Things previously were precious, and now they become vile. Life, sometimes before the cross, there were things that were unimportant to us, and now they become most precious. Things of little value back then become so important to us now. And things of high value back then, material things, whatever, becomes insignificant. Paul counts it as rubbish. I would like to take you through a slide that I hope will help us all to understand why we experience this war within our members at some times. When we look at 1 Thessalonians 5:23, we realize that we are spirit, soul, and body. If we look at the left circle, it's just a high-level picture of our body, our physical body, with our physical organs. Our soul is a description of what we think and what we feel, our emotions, our intellect, and our will, or the decisions that we make. And on the right, we see a picture of our spirit. This is a picture of somebody that has not been to the cross yet. Okay. So if you think of our spirit, soul, and body, these three areas should communicate with one another. Our body contains our physical eyes, our ears, our nose. But in the overlapping part of the circle between the body and the soul, we would put our senses. For example, our body has an ear, but our sense of hearing brings the message through to our mind or our soul. Our body has an eye, a physical organ, but the sense of sight will bring the message through to our soul. In the same way, our soul and our spirit communicate with one another through our will. Before the cross, the word says, this person is alienated from the life of God. So our spirit man is cut off from the life of God. It's either empty, or depending on what you choose, there could be spirits of darkness involved in that area. When you look at the picture, you will see that the body and the soul together we call, according to the Bible, flesh. This is where the battle comes between the flesh and the spirit. Because before we go to Christ, the flesh has the crown of our life. We make decisions based on our own understanding. We use our own wisdom. It's all about me, myself, and I, and my flesh rules. And by God's grace, there's this journey about realizing that the tree of knowledge of good and evil does not give me that peace that I so desperately yearn for. We can do, this flesh person can do good deeds. She can be kind. She can be gracious. But she's still cut off from the life of God. Not because of what she does. Remember, in Adam. In Adam means there's no hope unless you go to the cross to be put in Christ. And then we go to the cross. And we find out that the word of God is true. That Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life to get out of this dark world into the light. When we come to a place of repentance, we get saved by taking our will and say, Lord, I repent. I turn my back on this dark world. I repent. I don't want anything to do with it anymore. I can now see that I can't do anything in myself to get me out of this darkness into the light. So Holy Spirit moves into a person's spirit. We know that we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. We are filled with His Holy Spirit in our inner man when we are saved and born again. There, at that point, you are made alive in Christ. And suddenly, between the soul and the spirit, comes a new little bridge called faith. Because now, remember, this person was a carnal person living in this world. And our wiring in our mind is still the same. Our habits are still the same. Our dreams might not still be the same. We are not changed in our physical body or our soul at the cross. Our spirit is made new. But Holy Spirit comes from this on this journey now. And He wants to come. The word says in Romans 12:2, we must not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind to prove what His good, acceptable, and perfect will is. We need to take our thoughts captive. You know, it all comes down to God wants this whole being to become whole now. But what do I need to do? I experience this battle between my flesh and the spirit. But when Holy Spirit leads me through the Word of God, whichever way He chooses, I need to obey Him. That is the only way. You know, sometimes God says do something and it does not make sense to our minds. Our understanding is not His. Our wisdom is not His. But I can tell you today, I can testify in my own life, I'm a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you? You know, we need to get to a place of trusting Holy Spirit in us with this journey of self. We need to remind the old man, you are dead. You are crucified. When I see something in me raising up that's not according to the word of God, I need to go and say, Lord, shine your light, give me your truth. I choose to obey you even if it hurts. I choose to humble myself even if I don't want to. Flesh hates it to be humble. Self wants to be on the throne of our lives. But God has a better way. He has a plan. And it's all part of this that He wants to put this little piece of a puzzle into His perfect puzzle, into His big picture, so that the picture can be new and whole and glorifying Him. You know, in the book of John, we read where Jesus is the vine and we are the branch, and we can do nothing without Him. This is a typical picture of that. He is in us. We are plugged into Him through the blood of the everlasting covenant. At the cross, we see two areas. The blood of the Lamb takes care of the sin. It's the atonement for our sin. And the cross takes care of self. Do not forget that these two go together to make us whole. The blood takes care of the sin. The cross takes care of the sinner. And we can only bear fruit that lasts and that honors Father God when we obey Holy Spirit. I would like each of us to really go and inspect our hearts. You know, we are so conditioned in this world that as long as I have good manners and I don't hit my wife and I speak kindly to my children, I will make it one day. It's not the truth. In the essence of our being, we need to come to the Christ, to the cross. We need to repent. Jesus is standing there with His arms wide open. He invites all of us to come to Him because it's only through His truth that we can be set free. If you are sitting here today and you are still in Adam, please obey the Spirit of God in this place, nudging on your heart, knocking on the door. Please don't hesitate. Go on your knees. You can do it on your own. You don't have to come to somebody. You are welcome to come to anybody for prayer. But if you are sitting here today, do not let the sun go down tonight without making sure that you don't lean on your own good works anymore. The fruit of the Holy Spirit working through us produces good works. It is in line with the Word of God. You will not steal when you obey Holy Spirit. You will not lie when you obey Holy Spirit. But it's the fruit of Him in us that produces that. If you are sitting here today, and praise the Lord, you've been to the cross. You have His life-giving Spirit in you. I would like to remind you, when Jesus was crucified, the place that He was crucified at was called Golgotha. Is that how you say it? It's called the place of the skull. I don't think it's coincidence that our skull contains our thoughts and our emotions. When we receive that nudge of this battle and receive the conflict between spirit and soul within us, think about Jesus on the cross with a skull under His feet. You are victorious in Him. You are not the old creature anymore. Remind the old man he's crucified with your mind and your thoughts under the feet of Christ. It does not have to have dominion over you. Choose to trust the word of God above our thoughts and our emotions. Choose to obey him regardless and abide in him. Abide in him. God put us in Christ to have abundant life in the kingdom of light. Do not let the enemy come and deceive you with, you are so bad, you can't make it. It's not the truth. Go to the Lord. Surrender. Every area, he meets all of us at a different place, but he meets all of us. He knocks to each one of us every day. Come to him. Ask the Lord to shine his light of glory in our lives. And do not let the enemy come and lie anymore. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. He's a thief. He wants to steal your joy. While the word says, there's the fullness of joy in the presence of the Lord. He is all magnificent, all glorious, all powerful. So I want to give it to you today, if it's the only thing that you take out of here. Trust in the Lord more than our understanding, more than our experiences. If you have it in your heart to pray for somebody and you think, I've done it 1,000 times, nothing happens, then you can just as well leave it. But trust the Lord just at one time. Go to him. Act in faith. Go to him. Trust in him. Doesn't matter what he asks. Be a fool for Christ. Lay down your lives. Don't let it be about our own will and our own wisdom anymore. He has an amazing plan in our lives. Thanks, Joel. So back to the puzzle. Where do you fit in today? Do you know you are precious in God's sight? Do you know that Jesus did not want to wear the cross? Did not want to wear the crown? He did not want to wear the crown of thorns. But he did it for you and for me. He prayed, Father, let this cup go past me. I don't want it, but nevertheless, let your will be done. May that be our prayer. God, I don't want to ask this person for forgiveness, but help me. Let your will be done. You know, God is faithful. He meets us in the moment. He does not give us the words before the time. He gives it to us when we need it. Like the Israelites received the manna and the meat in the desert when they needed it. He did not have this buffet before the time ready and they could see what they would have tomorrow. They had it when they needed it. And we can take it all through the blood of the Lamb of God in faith. All these things that you hear and we see in the Word, it does not make sense to our minds. But we have to take it by faith. And I promise you, God is faithful. He will not let you down. Take this new year ahead of us like a blank book. Open a new page and say, Lord, I trust in you. I would like each one of you to just be still for a little while. Joel will put a music video on. You can stand up when you want to, when we get there. And Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, that you will glorify your name. Will you meet every precious person here today, every man, every woman, and every child, to know you intimately, to trust you regardless, Lord, and to abide in you. If anybody needs prayer, there will be people around available. If you don't want to go to somebody, just meet with the Lord. Just sit still. Close your eyes and listen to him speaking to your heart. This is my Thank you.